It's a rare Friday appearance. He was with us yesterday at Russian River Brewing in Windsor. It is a Friday appearance with our theater guy, Harry Duke, also the theater critic for the Bohemian. And I'll turn it over to you. And you did tell me in the green room that this is a very dark play.
Yeah, I don't know if it's really maybe a reflection of our times, but there is a lot of dark, challenging, mature theater being presented these days.
Well, everything Trump touches dies.
And to talk about a show that they're doing, we're being joined by representatives of Cinnabar Theater down in Petaluma. We've got the artistic director, Ellie Lichtenstein, here.
Hi, Ellie.
Hi.
And joining her are two of the actors from the show called The Great God Pan. We've got Aaron Wilton and Richard Palazziol here. Welcome, guys.
I had Palazziol for dinner last night. It was delicious. Yeah.
Oh, it's nice when you bake. Yeah.
Good to see you again.
Yeah, you always used that joke the last time.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Still
yeah.
Good?
Yeah. I'm sure I did, yeah. And it's great to meet Aaron, and always a pleasure to see my dear friend Ellie Lichtenstein. Okay, it says here, every face wears a mask. Mm. The great god Pan. Go for it. I have no idea what's going on.
Oh my God! Yeah, you start.
So I can set at least the stage for it. Yeah. It's the story of this guy Jamie, a 30-something journalist in Brooklyn. That's played by me, and he gets visited by a childhood friend of his he hasn't seen in 25 years, and they get together, have a seemingly nice bit of coffee, and he's got a great life going on, a new career, a beautiful girlfriend. And sometime during this conversation, the friend basically says, I'm prosecuting my father for sexual abuse, and I want you to possibly, I want to see if you remember anything.
Wow.
And it's like, boom. It's really hard.
That would be dark.
That would be dark.
And yeah. So the rest of the play explores this idea of memory, because my character does not remember anything from this experience. Wow. And so it's this kind of half investigation, half memory travel log, as he tries to figure out, did something happen? Do I remember it? What does memory mean to me? How does it define me? Stuff like that. It's a wonderful script.
How many actors in this?
Seven. Yeah.
All right.
So, and Richard plays Aaron's father.
His father, yeah.
Yeah.
And along with all of the other characters, we all try to help, and none of us have a complete set of tools in order to be able to help him in his journey. All of us are flawed in some way or another, and none of us can provide all of the answers that he's looking for.
That's right.
Let's talk about the structure of the play for a second. First off, it's a fairly short play, correct?
Yeah. It's about 85, 86 minutes.
85 minutes, no intermission. You start, you finish.
It's kind of a new thing. A lot of new plays are about that length without intermission.
We're hearing that, yeah.
Yeah.
And what happens within that 80, 85 minutes? It goes a bunch of different places, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it's scene for scene. Yeah, they're very, very broken down scenes. What do you call it?
Kind of like vignettes.
Thank
almost
you.
Each one. He visits his father, he has scenes with his girlfriend, he has scenes with his mother, he has scenes with the former babysitter. So it kind of, each character and each moment adds a little bit more piece to the puzzle of his understanding.
And your character is, again, an investigative journalist, correct?
Yes.
And so he's trying to apply those techniques to figuring out what happened in his life.
And it's an interesting contrast, because he's so driven to find the truth in his career, but when he's faced with something very personal to himself, the question becomes, how driven are you to find reality in the truth, even if it affects you and everything that could be a foundation of what makes you, you?
Now, so he comes to the character of the father, his father, and you tell him what can you do for him, or what is he looking from you?
I might have some information as to what might have happened when he was 5 years old. I'm not even sure if I have that information, but I can provide what little insight I have. But each character also has his or her own demons and restrictions and areas of guilt. So you never are quite sure from any character how how much value is coming out of their own memories.
How much can you really remember that far back in your lives? I've thought about this in researching this play about my own childhood and things that happened, and the answer is very little.
Very little. It's so strange how timely our production is, given the Kavanaugh and Ford debacle.
And everything Trump touches dies.
Exactly.
I just love saying
I apologize for the theme.
We're all going to be
saying
that for the rest of the week. That's right. But
so tell me, what about this play attracted you to put it in your season this year?
It's a stunningly beautifully written play, wouldn't you say, boys? It's beautifully written.
Amy Herzog, I believe. Correct?
Amy Herzog, that's right.
What else is she pretty
famous?
Mainstage
West did 4,000 Miles a couple years ago. It's that's a fabulous play, too. She's just an incredible youngish.
Based in
younger
New York?
Than me.
Based in New York?
Based in New York,
this play was off Broadway in 2012, I think.
2012, that's right, yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's right, that's fine. And 2 years ago, we did a piece by Jane Anderson called The Quality of Life, and Richard and I were in it. And it was directed by a gal by the name of Taylor Korobow, who we just all adored working with. She lives in San Miguel de Allende. So I just asked her last year, what do you want to do? Bring me something, because we want you back. And she gave me this, and I said yes. I mean, basically. It's so beautifully written. It's just so beautifully written. And so she came up last year for a reading, and we cast, and we're glad we did.
What's the set like?
The set's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Does it change? Is it fluid?
Yes, right. Well, in a way, it moves. It moves, and in some respects, it changed. The Great Ages. It's kind of magical.
Who's your set designer?
John Tracy. He's an award-winning set and light designer, and also directed the Richard and the Creature 3 years ago. That's actually how we all met, because Taylor was an associate director for that. So
a show like this has got to be a tough sell, right? I mean, you won't have people thinking, let's go see a show this Friday. Let's go see a show that involves repressed memory and potential child molestation.
Well, it depends on who you are. We were talking about it, right? You're talking about the new Halloween, and I said, ugh, I'm not interested in that.
Me
I'm
either.
Interested in stuff like what we do. So there might be, one or two other people out there like me.
So
wait a minute. Is it PG-13? Is it R?
It's PG-13. It deals with, the content is heavy, and so it's going to go over young people's heads. But Friday,
so you wouldn't call it a family presentation.
No.
Necessarily.
No.
Okay.
But we had how many teenagers opening Friday? About 7 or 8. Their response was pretty amazing. They were all up in the first row. At the end of the show, they all stood up and hugged each other.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that says
I will say
volume.
I think it's beyond the idea of content, too. If you just make a great play, if you put a great script together with great performers, great director, and a great theater, I think it goes beyond whatever the content of the script is, because people want to empathize and experience in a room and go through a story together. So if it's told well, I think that goes well beyond
well
what
said
it's
you.
So
well
the
said.
Selling point right. is it's a good story.
It's it's a beautiful story,
and it's well
beautifully realized. Yeah.
Now it's not without humor. There are some funny lines.
It's a good point.
Funny lines. There's
these are three-dimensional characters, and when things
all
get really tense,
all the characters
really
are three-dimensional. That's right.
And what about Pan? The title, The Great God
the Great
Pan.
Before
Pan.
We get there, if this show is interesting to you and you would like to attend a performance of this show, we do have a pair of tickets available to the first caller at 707-636-1350. We've talked about the show enough to where I think you should have some idea of what you're in store for.
Right.
So again, if the subject matter or the thought of attending a show that tells a good story and tells it well appeals to you, give us a call, 707-636-1350. Give us your name, your email address, and your phone number, and we'll have the box office at Cinnabar set you up with a pair of tickets.
All right, I still want to know about Pan.
Well, we talked about this. I wanted to know myself.
Yeah.
It's like, what is the connection to the god Pan in the story. Who wants to take that one?
You do, Aaron, because yes. you can recite it.
So there's an Elizabeth Bear Browning poem called The Musical Instrument that is about the great god Pan.
And who was this Pan dude?
Who is this Pan dude? He's a god of destruction. He's not well loved by the other gods.
And in my research, I found this out, and it's interesting you said it's the god of destruction. He's also the god of theatrical criticism.
That's right. That's right.
I thought that was you, Harry.
Just like I said.
Yeah, there you go. So the poem by Browning.
Yes. Basically, as you said, Pan is a god of, it's a lot of positive things like wine and celebration.
He's Dionysian.
And lasciviousness and stuff like that, mm-hmm. whereas...
That sounds like Saturday night at my house.
And, and he's a head satyr,
but
actually.
Yeah,
that's what he is.
Yes, and it's in contrast with the kind of destruction that often comes in the wake of these type of things. And so I think it's generally an allusion in the script to the story of the father and the relationships that
and this sort of also, you know, just trying to uncover the memory to uncover what may have happened sort of spreads destruction in its in its own right.
So is Pan in the movie? Is it a character? Or
the play.
We're talking about the movie.
I'm sorry.
I had to say that.
Just the poem.
Is Pan in Halloween the movie?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Pan Myers.
Yeah,
and Johnny Depp gets eaten by his bed. That's a different movie. I can't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The poem is referenced in the play by... Jamie's former babysitter, who he goes to visit to try to get clues of what happened when he was a child. And then later, the character Jamie brings back that poem with a little bit more insight. And the audience is also left to try to draw clues from things that are in the poem.
Yeah.
So this is a mystery.
Not
only for the character, but also for the audience. Mm-hmm. It's intriguing for them to start to put these clues together and see if they can find out what the narrative was.
One of the things that Taylor Korobaugh said, the director said at the talkback opening night, was that she said, this play is about questions, and a great play will pose questions and not necessarily answer any of them.
That's key, is that if you're looking to attend this show and get a nice tidy ending,
that's not going to happen.
And much like memory, it's often led to what you think or what you believe or the conclusions that you draw, correct?
Yeah.
Well, it's a play about experience and empathy and sharing emotions, and it's not tidy, and it's not really about structure necessarily. It's the experience involved.
Now, did you say you knew the lines? You knew the poem by heart? Who knows the poem?
I know the first part, yeah.
Let's hear a few verses of it.
What was he doing? The great god Pan down in the reeds by the river, spreading ruin and scattering ban, splashing and paddling with hooves of a goat and breaking the golden lilies afloat with the dragonfly by the river.
Again, for Saturday night at my house. I'm sorry. I keep using that every week.
So you can come see the great god Pan at our house, so we can go spend Saturday night with people.
I don't know. That line just tickles me. I can't help it.
And you rarely have memories of Saturday nights.
No, I don't.
From what I understand.
Let's talk, because we got some time here. One of our guests got stuck in what we call the Brody, northbound 101, the traffic. There's an accident in San Rafael. Michael Green will talk about it. So anyway, but let's go back into the history of, we'll start with the two actors. Richard, you've been doing this a long time, right?
Yeah, more than a few years.
And you've been here.
You said that somewhat forlornly.
Give us some of your background.
Studied at Long Beach State, then at American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco. I've spent the bulk of the last 40 years now as a stage fight choreographer.
He's one of the premier fight choreographers
that's
in Northern
right.
California.
If
you've seen a show where people beat the crap out of each other, Richard has probably had something to do with it.
Last time you were in, we talked about that, and it fascinates me. How did you get into that?
By accident.
He got in a fight.
I was cast in a show that needed a fight choreographer, and the guy didn't show up, but the swords were there. So my acting partner and I, he had had some martial arts. I had had fencing, so we started to work out a scene. The director liked it. He kept it.
Wow.
The next show that came around at another theater, they asked, who was your fight choreographer? So I did that gig, and then slowly and slowly built a career on it.
That is a trip. It just fascinates me.
Yeah, he's also the proprietor, is that the right way of saying?
Yeah,
of Weapons of Choice, where all of us in this county and way beyond get all of our period weapons.
Yeah, I build weapons for theaters nationwide.
Yeah. Wow.
Nationwide, yeah. Oh, I thought it was international, so I was almost going to...
Everything Richard touches
can't
dies.
Can't send anything
that's right, of course. Yes, silly moi, that's right.
I like that. You brought that back.
Aaron Wilton, your story, sir.
Yes. I've been acting about 25 years. I was in New York.
Oh, you started when you were one?
I'm older than I look.
I would not hope than you so, sound.
You look like you're 18.
Good. Good. Yeah, it works for me. I'll keep it.
Yes. Yeah. You should be happy about
that.
Right.
I was in New York for about 4 years. I was in LA for about 3, just bouncing around, doing film, TV, stage. And I grew up in the Bay Area and just came back here and mainly doing stage and voiceover stuff since then. So.
And the great Ellie Lichtenstein.
I can't remember. Play about memory.
Well, yeah, don't ask me. I don't know. I have no idea. But you've been with Cinnabar how long now?
I think I got there in 1907.
That's
when I was two.
That's when we
came
started the
show. Came over a covered wagon, right?
Right.
Made it past the Donner Pass.
Yeah, right. I joined Cinnabar in February of 75.
Wow.
So just about 1907, I guess. Yeah. Just after the earthquake there. Yeah, and have been there since. I've been on stage since 1902, I think. I started as a cellist. Actually.
That's right.
Yeah.
Blair told me that a long time ago. Our mutual friend, Blair Hardman. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd forgotten about
that. That's what my first profession. I was a cellist in, of all places, Antwerp, Belgium.
Really?
Yeah.
The cello capital of the world, if
cello
I remember
capital
correctly.
Of the world, that's right. And I have great memories of sexual abuse, which is one of the reasons why I don't play cello anymore.
Oh, good Lord.
I don't know where to go with
that one out. It was definitely before the Me Too generation.
I didn't see that one coming.
Neither did I.
I didn't see myself coming.
All right. It's time to check traffic. Here's Michael Green.
Quick.
Save us, sir.
All right. Bailout. Eject. Eastbound 12. No big thing there at Oakmont. We did have a crash reported. Now, Steve was talking about a wreck heading up out of Marin. And yes, indeed, right where you start losing lanes, North 101, this is before the San Antonio turnoff at the landfill. So this is before the Sonoma County line on the Marin side of the Narrows. No lane information on that one. But that's a tough spot where you go 4 lanes to 2. You throw an accident in there, and then it's just going off the rails, so it's really heavy through that stretch, but really not too much of a difference from what we would expect for this time on a Friday from Atherton, heading all the way out past Washington before you finally catch a break, and then slow again at Golf Course and Wilfred northbound. Southbound delays start just before Hopper Mendocino heading across town. From a bear messing up a car interior to a deer damaging a pool liner, they've covered it. Talk to Farmers Insurance. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. And that's your drive traffic. I'm Michael Green in the KSRO Traffic Center.
Hey, can you do the Farmers jingle thing?
Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum.
Yep, thank you, sir. Yes. We missed that, Michael.
It's not a part of the script, really, but for you, I'll do it.
Do it with me. We are Farmers.
Bump, ba dum, bump, 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 bump.
There you go.
At what point did I lose control of the theater segments?
From the moment you came in.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It happens every Thursday, and now it's Friday.
Harry,
it's the Great God Pan. Yes. It's running right now until through the 28th at Cinnabar in Petaluma. Folks, thanks so much for coming in. Aaron Wilton.
Thank you, sir.
And Richard Palaziol.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you. And well, folks, I am Italian, you know.
Yes, yes.
But that's a tough name.
That I still is, have, yeah. Yeah.
All the information you'll need to find on the show can be found on the Cinnabar website. Again, the show runs through the 28th, Friday and Saturday at 8 o'clock, Sunday matinees at 2. For all ticketing information, dates, and times, go to cinnabartheater.org.
And the great Ellie Lichtenstein, my dear friend. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure.
Great to see everyone. And again, it runs, as Harry said, through the 28th at cinnabartheater.org. Check it out. And, well, I don't know what to say.
It sounds interesting. It sounds challenging. If you're in the mood for something along those lines, consider attending The Great God Pan.
It's a tad dark, but really well written, as Ellie said.
Well written, gorgeously realized, not to be missed, really.
You will talk about it for days.
That's right. That's right.
It's great. It's the kind of show that will get you to talk about the circumstances, the situations, and perhaps
smart.
The theater and the performers as well.
Kids, thanks so much. Have a great run. I know you will.
Thank you.
I'm getting 10 fingers for Mike, which is much better than the middle finger, ooh, which I sometimes get.
Nice.
We'll be back after the break. Gray Rollins coming in and some other stuff on the drive.